news, information, opinions, history, and most importantly, always real. This is Rant EM Radio.
Into the jungle.
Well, welcome everybody to Rant Entertainment Media's conclusion of our Battleground coverage. Boy, oh boy. My goodness. Double A, as always, being joined by Surfer.
As always.
And Tony C.
Hey, yo.
And Rage might be fluttering around somewhere. I don't know. I don't think he is anymore. But
if he hasn't come out of his fetal position.
Well, we're live. And we're going to talk about what happened at Battleground. If you want to call the show, 954-889-7268, 954-889-7268. Double A the Rant, all one word on Skype. And, I don't know, I'm getting a lot of text messages and things like that all of a sudden. All right, let's try this again with Rage. Hello?
Oh, yeah, you know Rage, he's about to...
No, it's
wasn't
all right, I guess.
We were not...
I mean, I'm sorry, I apologize for that. Like, my mind's in other place right now, but...
Okay. Well, let's talk about... All right, since Rage decided to say that it was all right pay-per-view, let's go around the room. Initial reaction to the pay-per-view.
Well, I was in a dour mood after my honey loss. But overall, it wasn't a bad pay-per-view for filler...
pay-per-view.
For, you know... It was a filler pay per view. It was probably on the better side for a filler. You know, it was light beer, basically. We got some light beer tonight.
I don't like
it. It went as we saw it, as we predicted, for the most part.
But you know what? It was not a Raw, that's for sure.
No, that's why I said it's light beer.
And I thought, to be honest with you, I thought it was one of the better pay-per-views of the year.
It was better than Money in the Bank, right?
That's since Mania?
I'd probably have to say this has probably been the best pay-per-view since WrestleMania.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because the other ones... I'm going to tell you why. I mean, if you missed any of the pay-per-view, it's available on demand right now on WWE Network, and it's currently replaying. I got to tell you, the matches, there were a couple of matches that were cringeworthy, but I must say, let's kick things off with the first match that's currently re-airing, and that was the 2 out of 3 Falls Tag Team Championship match. Has to be... And I've already gone on record and stated probably the best tag team match of the year so far.
Certainly got better at each match.
I thought the falls came quick. That was a little unnecessary, and that they saved everything for the third fall is what woke up the crowd and got the crowd, you know, on the edge of their seats, which I guess is smart. But I think you should jerk the crowd around and have some of those falls in the earlier falls, you know? Like in the first fall when Luke Harper got the fall on Jimmy Uso. I thought it was so quick, it was so sudden, and then the next pin happened where the Usos tied things up. It was the third. It was basically the third. The third fall was an entirely different match, all on its own.
Well, that first one, it didn't bother me because, you know, the fam came for they came to put some pain on the Usos, and it came out of that first match. Now they dropped the ball in the second match, and then you know they would at it now at that point.
I just appreciate the fact that they went kind of old school and kind of in the feud with the 2 out of 3 falls match.
Yeah.
The Wise get another match, that's just not right. Yeah. That's just not fair to the Usos.
No, that's me. I say this is the best match.
No, it's
best
time,
tag match.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
I agree that this is the best tag match of the year, hands down. Like, I don't need any other proof of that.
Time for the Dust Brothers or somebody.
What, them to get a tag match already? A tag team titles match?
Why not? Didn't they just have one? No. On top of that, they are not a new tag team.
They are a new tag team, but I'm just saying, like, they've had a nice.
No, that was Cody and Goldust.
This doesn't really matter.
This is the Dust Brothers. This is Stardust and Goldust.
Okay? It doesn't really matter. I mean, they've already had a reign this year. I say it's about time.
They didn't have a reign as the Dust Brothers.
I say it's about time to call up the Ascension.
There's already a tag team.
Hmm?
Wait a minute. You want them to bring up the Ascension?
Yes.
From NXT?
And give them a tag team coach.
For what? Why?
Because he doesn't like...
I'm not saying they should get a match right now. I'm just saying, you know, every tag team in WWE right now has had a nice reign.
Not the Wyatts.
Through the first half of the... Well, not the Wyatts. I get that. They should get a reign sometime by the end of this year, but it's... You're running out of team, so I think that's why I'm saying it's time to call up the Ascension.
Well, anyways.
The Matadors haven't got a reign yet.
The Matadors, that's right.
Matadors don't count.
Yes, they do.
I mean, they don't count. They're a tag team.
They're not a serious tag team.
Yes, they are. A tag team is a tag team.
Yes, I get that, but they're not. They're not what I call a serious tag team.
Well, this is not. I've been watching wrestling for 32 years. I don't think I've ever seen Rage's rules in any of the wrestling rule books.
So, it's true, but for you to define them not
a legitimate tag team, they are.
They're not. I mean, they are a tag team. They're a tandem, but I don't think.
Okay, that's what a tag team is.
They're not. They're just not championship material. Let's put it that way. Championship material.
If you took Kali and Santino and tagged them up. They're a tag team. You can't say they're not a tag team.
I get that.
Anyways.
And you know those that would be a clown team. But they're still are a tag team.
They pretty much are a clown team. They're not.
But they're still.
They're not a team that I'm expecting a tag team title reign off of.
Well, that's why you don't run things, Rage.
Whatever. Whatever. It's my damn opinion.
Anyways. No. There's a difference between an opinion and stating a blatant, errant, erroneous fact.
Okay. All right.
Look, the Matadors have every right to get a tag team title shot than anybody else. And you can't say because other teams had the belt already.
They can get it.
I mean, you know, it doesn't, you know, teams can have multiple reigns.
They can get a shot. I just don't think they're, like, I don't see them with belts. I don't. I'm sorry.
Okay, we're gonna. This is a real question. Rage.
Yes.
Is a hamburger a sandwich?
Oh my God.
Just answer the question, yes or no.
Yes, it is.
Okay, well, at least you understand that.
There you go.
So you have to accept the fact. Question. You have to accept the fact. Well, I got to test you once in a while. So you have to accept the fact that a pairing of two individuals is a tag team, regardless.
Anyways, yes, I get that.
Moving on. So. It was after the tag team match that kind of the wind was taken out of the sails and things kind of, you know, they had set a strong pace, a nice steady pace in the opening match, but the problem is that what followed was a lot of just, it's not things that were terrible, but it just was, you know, just a lot of, it just kind of left everybody flat.
I tell you, a match that was surprisingly good to me, but that finish was just bogus, was the Rusev Swagger match.
Yes, it was a good match. I thought it was a good match. The finish was bogus, but this now allows for a continuation of the feud. And yeah. I talked about this in the pre-show because Phil had brought it up that they were contemplating toning down the gimmick. And here's the thing. I was shocked. I really was. I was shocked that I said that WWE probably would analyze things on a day-to-day basis. And the fact that that they actually, not directly, but indirectly, brought up what happened, you know, in that area of the country, mm-hmm. you know, with the plane crash and all that nonsense that's been going on over there, it was an indirect way, but I really, you know, they're really walking on that fine line of.
Well, we'll see what kind of complaints come in.
Well, I don't think there's going to be any because there was nothing that was overtly said.
Not like they were talking about the plane being shot down.
No. Some people are sensitive.
I know, but I honestly don't think that there was anything that would justify filing a complaint or airing some sort of grievance, because it just caught me a little off guard, because I would have thought, you know, WWE would have, I don't know, maybe not necessarily brought it up, but maybe would have avoided the actual subject of the ongoing conflicts, you know, and kind of would have just continued pandering, and would have just continued pandering to Russia and putting them over. But there's nothing wrong with what they did. I don't have any problem with it at all. The match, like Surfer said, the match was very good. The problem here was is that most of the matches tonight were good. The result was poor, and that's where a lot of like the Harper and Rowan should have won. Swagger should have won, but that doesn't necessarily mean Swagger won't win. And I suspect and I smell some sort of bigger match in the horizon, let's say at SummerSlam.
Well, you know, they telegraphed the ending. When Swagger got the Patriot lock on, mm-hmm. you knew once Rusev got out of it that Swagger's chance of winning was done.
Was slim, yeah.
And then, like, you know, like when Rusev rolled out of the ring, all Swagger had to do was stand in the middle of the ring. He'd have got the count out.
Right.
Instead, exactly. He goes after him, puts the lock on him again. I thought he was going to get disqualified.
Well, that's why they're going to issue a rematch after the match he beat the hell out of Swagger.
Mm. No, Swagger didn't get beat up. Swagger was out.
You know what I mean.
All that crush stuff, you know, Swagger didn't feel that. He was in la la land.
I got to tell you what was funny though. Zeb gets in the ring and says all of two words, and Lana slapped his beard right off. I thought that was very funny for some reason. I got to tell you, I said that Zeb is going
to
get his...
He looked like he was about to put his hands on him.
I'm telling you, Zeb is going to put his hands on Lana. I thought it was going to happen at the pay-per-view, and it didn't happen. But he's gonna grab Lana one day by the bun, and I'm talking about the one on her head, and drag her around the ring like a, you know... Like a man would do to a woman that when he tells a woman, you kitchen barefoot and pregnant. That's all you need to know. Type of dragon, and
you're hoping that happens tomorrow.
Oh, if it happens tomorrow, I'd be a happy camper. I don't need it as a payoff.
That Divas match. That Divas match.
Train wreck.
That was the first time AJ wrestled. In a long time. Because usually with AJ matches, is either she dominates,
you know why?
Or she gets beat up around the ring.
You know why?
And AJ, then gets the win.
AJ had to carry Paige. That's what it was. And I'm not... This is like not...
AJ carried Paige?
I think AJ carried Paige in the match. And the thing is, I think it was done out of any... you know, well, Paige is not qualified to work a match, no, because Paige is. I think it was just designed in such a way that AJ was supposed to be the leader in the match. Because in every wrestling match, you got to have a leader. And I think in this case, AJ was the leader, and I think maybe that could have been the wrong decision. And just, I didn't think the match was good at all. Not at all. And there was no outcome to the match. AJ won, and that was it. She won with a Shining Wizard.
Is it Lizard or Wizard?
Wizard.
Oh, okay.
Shining Wizard.
You know that was one of those moments that kind of just, you know, okay, you know. let me see here. Let's talk about two things. Number one. The Ninja Turtles commercial.
Yeah, what up with that?
Random.
Very random, and I don't want to see it.
They showed an old one on top of that, too.
I don't want to see the Ninja Turtles.
Well, I don't have a choice. I have to go see it, but...
You do have a choice.
You could have just said no to those free movie passes.
No, I mean, I'm going to do a review on it, so...
Well, can't you review something else, like a Disney movie?
Or can't you just watch it on the internet and save your money?
Yeah,
I said free. I don't. It when typically free. When things are free, you don't spend money.
I want to post a review, so it's not like it's going to kill me to watch a bad movie.
You should just review the 1990 movie, and that's it.
The Secret of the
Never mind.
Anyways, this whole thing with Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins.
Yeah, that was...
God.
It was ponderous.
Starting to think that was like...
They just didn't want anybody to get a true loss.
Here's the thing.
They bumped that match?
I would have... I get doing that for one segment. They did it for three segments and three long segments.
I know, man. When you speeding away in the car, you know, that's old school.
Yeah, yep. I mean, yeah. You remember one time? You have to remember, Tony. See, Macho Man and Ric Flair, they were beating the hell out of each other, and they the match. This was on Saturday night. The match ended up backstage, all the way out on the streets of Atlanta. And I think Flair got away in a limousine.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Triple H, Austin, a couple times.
Yeah. Anyways.
Triple H got away, and Earl Hebner helped him. He threw his belt in the car. He threw the belt.
I always like when the match just goes outdoors. And I'm not talking about in the loading bay area. I'm talking about when it goes outdoors, into traffic. It's been a long time since
the last time they went outside the arena was Orton and Cena in the cold, and Orton j- jumped in the car.
Yeah, but I want to see
just out of nowhere, just a car just pulled up, and Orton just like he hijacked somebody.
Mm-hmm. I want to see a match, but I want to see a match get out in traffic. You know,
isn't that a little much?
It's been a while.
It's been a rage that happened all the time. That used to happen regularly.
Isn't that a little much? You know, couldn't like an actual match like being dragged out in like the street and actual freaking traffic.
Rage. It used to happen all the time, and believe me, the traffic was stopped in advance.
Okay.
So that nobody
stopped
would
in
actually,
advance and responded.
You know, somebody would got out there like 30 seconds in advance and stopped the traffic.
If it stopped in advance, that's fine.
Rays think they're gonna be out there real on with traffic.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought they were gonna be out there
rage.
Slugging in the middle of passing cars and.
That's not how it works.
And what are you gonna learn?
Anyway, but yeah, it was ponderous. That whole thing. One segment, fine. Two segments, the ringside area segment. That one was okay because, you know, again, the security, all the agents got involved. Mike Rotunda, Bill DeMott, Joey Mercury, Jamie Noble, Fit Finley. They all were there. So it was all right, but then the third one, where Ambrose was hiding in the trunk of the car, you know, and he even tried to swing at him with a tire iron. And I'm thinking, boy, I can't remember the last time I saw a tire iron. But he missed, and he dropped the iron.
Iron,
probably. Yeah, there you go. But
did they expect the tag match to go so long? That's I don't know.
Let's see what we got here. Okay, Stardust and Goldust talking about the Cosmic Key. I'm enjoying the promos. That's all. Bray Wyatt and Chris Jericho. My expectations for this match were, while they were not high, I thought it was going to be the match of the night. I was wrong because the tag team match obviously was the match of the night. But, you know, this match, Bray and Chris... was a little bit of a letdown. I did not think the it was.
I thought the match was fine.
It was. Listen, the match wasn't bad. I just don't. I expected better from the match, and then of course the outcome is not the outcome that should have happened.
Well, you gotta let Jericho get one.
No, I would have had Jericho. I would have had Jericho get his retribution later on.
At
SummerSlam, maybe.
Jericho's been getting beat down a lot. To get beat down and then lose the match. I can see why he came out on top this time. The next time, he'll lose.
That's the logic.
Mean more? Sometimes they go over at SummerSlam?
I don't know. I just think... but here's what we don't want. We don't want to see Chris Jericho and Bray Wyatt in a cage because it seems that every time Bray feuds with somebody, the match ends up in a cage.
It ends up in the cage.
I don't want to see a cage match with Chris Jericho and Bray Wyatt. I want to see something else. I want to see... Oh, God. Give me a nice, old-school, barbaric match, Tony C. Just to...
They can go 2 out of 3 falls.
No, we just had that. I'd do something barbaric. I would do like a
last man standing.
No,
but
that's
you
not
just had a last man standing match.
When?
Last month. Cleaning.
Yeah. Okay. And there was one on the main event 2 weeks ago.
Yep. Last week.
Last week. Anyways.
When was the last time we had an Iron Man match?
No, that's not a barbaric match.
No, that's not barbaric.
I'm just wondering.
Can't go Hell in a Cell.
Besides, I don't think... No, they can't do Hell in a Cell. Besides, we're too close to the pay-per-view.
Barroom. Yeah.
No. If you want my opinion, a barbaric match would be like... I don't know how to set it up, but I would do like a good old-fashioned like a strap.
Hollywood backlot brawl.
No, I would do like a good old, no. LA? A good old fashioned, like a leather strap match or a chain match.
I don't think
chain match is.
You know what else I would try? Not that, because to be honest with you, this is the only one I know of, and I don't know if it would fly today. A dog collar match.
It's been a minute since you've seen one.
It's been 30 years.
So bad about a dog collar match.
See, Bray Wyatt needs a match that fits the with the family.
That's why I honestly think a leather strap might be the best way to go.
What a four corners sort of thing.
It doesn't have, well. You don't necessarily have to have the four corners involved. It's just where you are attached to the person by a leather strap.
See, they can't do a chain match. So if that's what you imagine, Hicks like that standing there with the chainsaw coming after you and stuff.
When's the last time we had a biker chain match?
I don't know. It's been a while. I think
you could just have a regular chain match, Dublin.
No. I think a leather strap match would be the best way to go.
And being at Night of Champions, what you do?
They need to come up.
Oh,
with
no! At Night of Champions, the feud is over. So they move on to somebody else.
So they're gonna go 1-1.
I think
and just
so.
Just leave it at that.
Just leave it at that. If they want to have a blow off, it's got to be on TV at that point.
I got you.
I might have to make a phone call to Vince and say, listen. Leather strap match, SummerSlam, but it's not a traditional, just, you know, pinfalls and submissions are okay in this match.
Not a four corner.
Not a four corner. No.
Yeah, it's going to have to be a gimmick. And some.
I mean, could you see Bray? Jericho's laid out on the mat, and Bray just taking it to Jericho. Whipping him like, and you just hear
he's whipping him like a mule.
The snap of the leather on his flesh.
That leather strap.
Yeah, you don't get that sound with a there's that Ninja Turtles movie. They don't even look like Ninja Turtles.
They don't.
They look like Transformers.
They
look like slugs.
They bay turtles.
Anyways,
Michael Bay wanted to change them from mutated turtles to aliens.
They sure look like it.
He did it.
They're ugly as hell. Anyways, let me see. The Battle Royal. I gotta tell you, it was a Battle Royal. It was just your everyday traditional battle royal with its mandatory Kofi spots, which were simple and they did the job.
But
they were not over the top.
Who was going to win that match?
Oh, yeah. From a mile away. I even called.
If you're watching. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I mean, you're watching the match and you're seeing this one guy just lay on the ground outside the ring.
Yes.
Like, that's bad camera work. I understand, you know, he's out there hiding.
That's
you see him in the camera like every other shot.
Did you notice how he was in the camera shot the first time, mm-hmm. and then the second time the announcer didn't bring it up the first time, but they brought it up the second time because they realized he was caught on camera. You know, it was your normal battle royal. I said, you know, if Cesaro doesn't win, it's going to be The Miz. Why, and
who was the best elimination tonight?
I think Slater when he eliminated Cesaro. I think only because it had that little moment where people were like, oh my god, Heath Slater might win this.
No William orgasm at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And oh, Clown of the Night has to go to Damien Sandow. What the hell was he wearing?
He was dressed like a Florida senior citizen. That's what it was.
Oh, okay. I'm
he was dressed. He was dressed as an old codger on the beach, walking around in board shorts, a tank top with the sunscreen on the tip of the nose, the hat, the sunglasses, the penny loafers with the white socks and sock suspenders. Though I don't see people wearing sock suspenders around here.
And
Surfer, do you wear sock suspenders?
The speed of which both Zack Ryder and Xavier Woods was eliminated. Jeez.
No respect. I worry on the future of Ziggler. I really do at this point.
Why?
Nothing to worry about. You know why? I think Ziggler's place is just being...
He has the girls kissing on him. What's wrong with that?
Oh my God.
Speaking of girls kissing on him... Layla bouncing around. That was the highlight of the night.
Yes, it was.
Then, of course, your main event, which, you know, we knew what was going to happen. Nothing shocking or surprising happened.
They kept cock teasing that
Roman would win.
Yeah, Roman Reigns and John Cena.
Yeah. But it ended up being John Cena winning. Don't be shocked if at SummerSlam, or not at SummerSlam, but at one of these upcoming pay-per-views where the title is kind of like out of the picture, it will be John Cena and Roman Reigns.
Yep.
I personally... I think it's coming up. I think and it's going to happen sooner than we think.
Before the end of the year, you think?
I wouldn't be surprised if it happens in the next pay-per-view or two. Not SummerSlam, but, you know, a non-title, like the following one, or the one after that.
United Champions, something like that.
Something like that.
Some people can take comfort that Roman Reigns had John Cena beat. And Kane broke it up.
Yep.
Some people.
954-889-7268, 954-889-7268, AA The Rant, all one word on Skype. And, of course, if you're listening to us and you think I said those phone numbers a little bit too fast, they are scrolling at the top of the player.
And now the countdown begins.
I got to tell you, you know, I really hope... By the way, I believe this was the first WWE pay-per-view on the network since the launch that I saw a long laundry list of people having issues. Apparently there was some kind of issues going on tonight.
Yeah, my CD froze a couple of times.
Yeah, I had my iPad and the Roku feed running simultaneously. And the iPad froze a couple of times. And
I was fine, and I used the laptop for the first time, so... It was fun for me.
I mean, it depends on what you were using, but I think this was the first time that I saw widespread issues. I mean, there's always going to be somebody that's going to have an issue, but the amount of issues that I saw, at least on Twitter, I mean, I have no problem just hitting refresh and that's it, and you know, it fixes itself. But it seems that there was a long laundry list of problems people were having. I saw them all on Twitter. Things were... The feed went out completely. It was frozen. It was this. It was that. So, yeah. I wonder... I could have been maybe WWE was testing something. Who knows? Which,
by
I don't...
any chance...
Go ahead.
No, never mind. Go ahead.
No, I was saying that WWE... It would not be completely out of left field that WWE test... You know, do run tests during the pay per view. You know, and if it goes down, it goes down. Not a big deal. You know. What were you gonna say, Rage?
If anyone happens to get that Layla bouncing as a gift, please send that to me.
Here's an interesting tweet that just came across the wire. Since Taboo Tuesday of 2005. 5, John Cena has won 34 pay-per-view main events. So that means in the last 8 years, which would equate to roughly 100 pay-per-views, he's won a little over 30% of them.
Well,
look at this. 30 days. Look at this. We have people saying which one was worse, Battleground of last year or Battleground this year. They don't ask which one was better. No, they ask which one was worse.
Well, if you're gonna say which one's worse, obviously last year was worse.
People are so I can't stand you people. let me see.
What was the, I thought Triple H was going to come down at the end of the match.
Yeah. Mm-mm. I did too. I thought at the end of the match Seth Rollins was going to come down and not cash it in. But
Seth Rollins took off, man. He
make his presence felt.
He drove off, man. You know. Dude came out of the trunk of the car.
Like a horror movie.
Him and Dean Ambrose are going to have a... Surprised if they had a match on either Raw or SmackDown in the next 2 weeks or so.
Oh, and I gotta give it to Kyle Lee with those chops he was doing early on, man. Oh, he was laying people out.
Kyle has to go.
Let's see.
And who was the first one he laid paws on? Bo Dallas.
That was funny.
So, Reeves, how you feel about Cena retaining? You good?
No, I'm not good. No, I'm not. But, of course, that's the soul-crushing status quo.
Why you not good with him retaining? You actually thought he might lose?
No, I didn't think he was going to lose.
Listen, then why get upset? Does he know what the outcome is?
John Cena always has to fucking win. Always.
Okay. John, you know, instead of being so negative, why can't you be positive and be like, you know what? John Cena is on the tail end of his career. He's winding down. He's going to be gone soon enough, and somebody will step in and fill his shoes.
See, now, you made that sound positive yourself, but that, to me, those words are negative.
How are they
negative? Is that someone saying, I can't wait for this guy's career to be over?
No, wait a minute. Hold it. Stop right there. You're putting words in my mouth. I'm not waiting for John Cena's career to be over. Wait a minute. I'm being realistic in the terms of a human being who's already been wrestling 13 years, doesn't have too much gas left in the tank.
Yeah.
Starts as a dream.
Rage. My car, I drove my car. I bought it brand new. After 20-something thousand miles, I needed new tires. I knew I needed the new tires. So what did I do? I took the old ones off and I put new tires. John Cena is a lot like a set of old tires. He's been around for 25, almost 30,000 miles. It's time to get some new tires. The problem is WWE needs to find those tires, just like how I had to shop around for them.
No, they have the tires. They just choose not to use them.
No, that's not true. Not true, Rage.
They just choose not to use them. They got a nice, fresh set of tires just waiting to be used.
Who's name who?
But they choose
name
not
who?
To use
who, who's that new? Who's that fresh set of tires?
They got a plenty fresh set of tires
name
in that
one.
Locker room. Name one. Cesaro.
Name another.
Yeah. Okay, how about Roman Reigns?
Okay, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you why. I'll tell you why.
How about Dolph Ziggler?
These guys got to prove they can carry the company.
I got to tell you. I'll give you reasons why for all three not being the champion.
Not ready yet.
Cesaro is not there yet. Just like Surfer just said, Cesaro can very easily work with anybody. But to be the guy, Cesaro just is not there yet. He's almost there. Roman Reigns, very green still. I mean, he's still... The term that I don't hear used too much anymore, he's still very wet behind the ears. Okay? He's very green. Okay? And he needs...
It's even too early for them to talk about putting the belt on him at Mania next year.
Exactly.
I mean, they need to start preparing now.
Okay. But listen, Roman Reigns could be the face of the company at WrestleMania 31. That's fine and well. But if it does happen, and it looks like that's going to be that's a very strong possibility, that it's going to be rushed and there's not going to be enough build for Roman. Right. And ultimately, it'll just sabotage Roman's future. Let me finish with the last person that I mentioned, Dolph Ziggler. Ziggler won the world title, not once but twice. I want you to think about that statement that I just said.
Mm-hmm.
He won the world championship, the world heavyweight championship. Dolph never won the WWE Championship. And there's a very good reason why Dolph never won the WWE Championship. Because Dolph, too, was not ready, and still, in my opinion, while I think he should be pushed and built and things like that, he is not ready to be the guy. We are in a very different situation now where there's no longer two world titles. There is only one championship now, and that person who holds that championship, WWE has to be confident that that person can run with the title and be the guy.
When people see him at the top of the marquee, they're willing to put their money down.
Exactly.
It's not a guarantee that if they come to town, people are going to go out and spend their money, especially with all the whining and complaining about how bad wrestling is.
I got no problem with those three people being the champion. But not now. Not tomorrow. It just would not make sense. It wouldn't work.
I'm just saying, like, it's just
time. And then you know what would happen, Rage? And you know what would happen? And this is not me ragging on you. You know what would happen? Let's say one of these three became champion tonight. Let's say. Just a hypothetical situation here. One of the three became champion, and their run kind of is lackluster. Nothing really happened, and maybe after 2 months they drop the title, you know, to Orton or Cena or whoever. You probably would come on the air, much like most wrestling fans, you would come on the air and say, WWE never gave them the chance. Or they didn't put them with an adequate person. And your silence confirms it.
You're right.
Yep.
Okay, so why would WWE put you through that and then put them in a situation that would open a floodgate of criticism from you and other wrestling fans?
I'm just like, I don't know. I'm just like, it's good to just start preparing now.
Okay, preparing, but preparation takes time.
Rage.
I know. I don't know how long they need to start bringing some guys up, but
I'm going to tell you,
I mean, they don't have Punk anymore. Daniel Bryan is not going to be there for a year or so.
I'm not saying Punk, whatever.
I'm just saying, like, he's not there anymore. Daniel Bryan's not going to be there for a year, and we don't even know if he's even going to come back.
Okay,
so
a lot of the
members of the Breakfast Club, I like to call them, some of them aren't there anymore, and some of them are probably on their way out the door.
Rage, here's something to think about. They're not going to elevate a guy making $300,000 over a guy making $6 million. It doesn't work like that. It's a waste of money. Until Cena is not making as much money and these other guys been around long enough to make more money, then people get pushed. Punk didn't get paid until his last contract. Daniel Bryan's just starting to get paid now.
Here's the thing. Nixon put it in the chat room. The IC title was used to whatever. Okay, fine. That's fine and well. But I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to give you an example of being prepared and being unprepared. Randy Orton, I think, is the best example of this. And actually, John Cena is a very good example, too. But I'm going to use Randy Orton. So Randy Orton and John Cena debuted almost at the exact same time. Okay?
Same month, at least.
I don't know about same month. I don't know about the same month, but they debuted same year on SmackDown. So they debuted on the same show. I believe Orton debuted in April. John came in June. Orton got the bigger push earlier than John Cena did, because Orton, I think, within a year was a part of Evolution and all this stuff, and Cena kind of was just there. To Cena's credit, Cena had this rapper gimmick and main evented a pay-per-view with Brock Lesnar in 2003, but a lot of people forget that.
Yep.
So,
thing about Orton also.
But wait, okay.
He had the third generation wrestler.
He had that. He had that too. But let me tell you where I'm going at with this. So in 2004, Orton became the world champion. He was, in theory, the guy. Orton held the title for a month, lost it back to Triple H, and whatever. Orton, despite the rumors, despite everything that all the dirt sheets reported at the time, Orton didn't hold the title again for 4 years. Why? In 2004, Orton was not ready to carry the company. In my opinion, when John Cena won the title in 2005, John Cena was still very wet behind the ears.
Yeah.
But he came in, he won the title, and not only did he win the title, he held on to the son of a bitch for close to a year before he lost it.
How long was he United States champion?
He had won it, he had traded it back and forth like two or three times.
Yeah.
Over the course of a year.
Orton got the legacy push. But Cena, he did come along more naturally.
Yeah.
I mean, just because... See, now you think back at John Cena, he's going to win. But when John Cena came in early, there was no guarantee he was going to rise to what he did. I mean...
Yeah, there was no guarantee.
He could have been Zack Ryder in no time.
If you would have told me back then that Cena probably was going to be the guy, the modern-day Hulk Hogan, I would have said, you're crazy.
Yeah, but at a certain point.
At a certain point, though, I guess, it wasn't even no more than 2 years later. You know, you kind of just realize John Cena is not really going anywhere. You know, I'm sitting there.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here. I'm sitting in Miami. It was January 1st, 2007, and the first match on Monday Night Raw, the first Raw of the year, was John Cena and Kevin Federline, and I'm like, yeah. I guess John Cena is going to be the guy from now on. And that's that.
Well,
I try to forget that match even then.
And all because he dressed up like Vanilla Ice on our
episode of SmackDown.
Episode.
Yeah, SmackDown.
And
yeah, but Cena has outlasted a lot of people, but it's been times where he could have stayed gone and he didn't. And I think a lot of a couple of injuries could have been prevented if he just healed up.
That tennis ball in his elbow probably would have never happened.
Yeah,
you know, little silly things like that.
And then we really don't know what's going on in the back with this guy. I mean, he may be such the company guy.
Oh, no,
they can't
is.
Help but
that,
push. Along.
That's that. There's no debating that. That's what he
I mean,
is.
He, you know, he whatever they ask him to do, he's like,
yeah,
I'm sure John, you know, Vince went to John. We don't know the. I'm going to tell you something. You know the one person you never hear about his contract coming up for renewal?
John Cena. There's never a question, is he going to re-sign? Is he going to go to TNA?
Never a question, ever. Why? We don't know what's going on, but there's a strong possibility Vince walked up to him one day and said, here, sign a 20-year deal.
Lifetime contract.
He they could be working on a handshake deal, and this is one of those things where Cena is where he wants to be. And he's
happy, and Vince is happy, and that's it. And at the end of the day, maybe John is not a stupid guy. You know? He knows where his bread is buttered. He knows that if he goes to Orlando and tries to work at TNA, you know what's going to happen? Those paychecks are not going to be as fat.
And his legacy will be...
Yeah.
No, his legacy is always going to be the same. I mean, you can go to TNA.
But he goes to TNA and...
They'll get lifted up.
Yeah. But it's not going to be like when Hogan went to WCW.
It's not going to be the death of WWE.
No.
That's because when Hogan, he had Bischoff to steer the ship in the right direction.
That's besides the point. WCW was a legitimate number two company to the WWF in the 90s. TNA is not a number two company.
All the money in the world too.
When Hogan came in, there's a lot of varying reports as to what was done to bring Hogan into WCW. But one of the stories that I've heard floating around, okay, that brought Hogan to WCW was he cannot stand Bill Watts.
Yep, he said that.
and he said that he's not going to go work in a company where Bill Watts is.
This is from the AWA days?
No, this is from WCW. A lot of people don't know this. Bill worked in the office for the WWE. So I think they had their issues and things like that. I think they just had their problems in general. A lot of people have problems with Bill Watts. Hogan's not the only one. But Hogan has enough pull to say, I'm not going to work with Bill Watts. End of story. I don't need to work with Bill Watts.
He did the smart thing.
So he waited. Because I think they were trying to woo Hogan from the WWE long before...
1994.
Yeah. I think they were trying to woo him since 92 or something like that. And in 92, I mean, that was dead in the middle of the Bill Watts era.
Hogan's been in three federations, right?
Yeah,
he won the AWA, right?
Yeah, they it took 20 years, but it is in the books, yeah.
He never won NWA championship or anything?
He never worked in an NWA promotion.
Yeah.
I mean, he worked territories, but he wasn't there long enough to be the NWA champion.
Where did he start? Did he start with the WWE?
He started in the NWA. Hogan started... I believe Hogan's career started in Memphis.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hogan... I think if I'm not mistaken, Hogan started in Memphis, went to Georgia. He worked Georgia for a period of time.
Didn't he work Florida too?
I don't think he worked Florida. He trained in Florida, but I don't think he worked Florida.
Yeah, he was trying to do.
Hogan was named Terry Boulder in Georgia.
See, Hogan came along where he was a unique looking guy.
Yeah,
but in the end, there was so many Hogan lookalikes, and I don't mean like exactly, but I'm saying like I mean, so many guys came along bigger than Hogan.
Yeah. With the muscles,
Hogan was just towering over people in the beginning of his career.
Yeah. And then I think after Georgia, that's when Hogan went to the WWE the first time.
But what I want to say is with what Rage was talking about. I mean, with people like The Rock and Hogan and Austin, that's lightning in the bottle, man. Everybody can't do it.
Right.
Because if they could do it, then wrestling would be not at a low point. It would always be on a high.
You know, I'm gonna. That's such a good point, Tony C. You know, I read a very interesting article on, I don't know who did the article. It was one of these wrestling websites. They interviewed Sting about his inclusion in the WWE video game. And in the interview, Sting said that when he started in the business, he knew absolutely nothing about wrestling because he didn't watch it as a kid. And even to this day, he still doesn't watch it. You know, he'll watch it once in a blue moon, but he doesn't religiously watch on Monday night. And he says he barely has seen any of his matches. So he went into the business blind. And look what happened. Sting ended up being one of the, if not, you know.
Because Sting had a combination of skills that are rare to find.
Yes. He became, you know, without a doubt, one of the biggest stars in the history of the business.
I mean, to be as quick as the Macho Man, as strong as the Road Warriors, that's very rare.
Lightning in the bottle.
That commercial was great. I probably have watched that commercial at least 10 times.
Now, that's lightning in a bottle. You want right place, right time? The examples are endless. Lex Luger, Goldberg.
Yep.
Give me another one.
Triple H.
Triple H. I don't know. I think Triple H worked. Triple H worked for his role.
He struggled because you know that doghouse he was put into.
Well, it was still right place, right time.
Supposed to never come out of that doghouse he was put in.
When Triple H made it to the main event, that was right place, right time for him.
That's what I'm talking about.
But I think Triple H though worked his ass off, and I think. I think 2000 during the Attitude Era, and I said this many times, I think 2000 was one of the worst years for wrestling during that period of time across the board, not just WWE, and that was the Triple H era. That was the McMahon Helmsley era.
I mean, some champion because of And I was about to say nutrition, but that ain't the right word.
Attrition,
yeah, sorry. Because, you know, guys get hurt, and then they look up, and the only person left standing is Rey Mysterio. Okay, let's give him the belt for a little time until we get some guys back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true, too.
There have been a few people that have just been the right place, right time. But the lightning in a bottle thing, that's few and far between.
And that's what I just want to say that the Rage, like, because you get so worked up about The Rock and, hey, man, yeah. Rock did. I mean, it's not another him out there, you know? It's not another Hogan.
Brock. Brock, he's a unique-looking guy. They just said, we're going to go with him. I mean, the man has no neck. He's big as hell.
Who you said, Brock Lesnar?
Yeah.
Yeah, Brock Lesnar.
He said The Rock.
Oh, no, I'm saying. But Brock Lesnar came out of nowhere and was just, bang, he was champion.
No, Brock was...
Intercontinental champion.
No, he was never. He never held any
single
title.
He was never an Intercontinental champion.
Never.
No.
Nope.
He was only a WWE champion, and that's it.
Squashed a bunch of people, and in no time he was going
but
for the.
Going on what Tony was saying. Look, me and Lee spoke about this like earlier today. Like, the problem, I get the whole business thing about it. Like, I get that. The problem that I have with this whole thing about Vince not like pissed about The Rock not being able to be at WrestleMania is the fact of why do you need him? Other than
because he's so focused, right?
That's okay. That's okay. That's it. Okay, fine. I get that. Still, business. I get that. But still, on a pro wrestling aspect, why do you need him?
Because okay, the line
he transcends the sport.
The line I've heard Vince use for years and years and years. He's always used it in reference to Ted Turner. Because when Ted bought WCW in 1988, he apparently picked up the phone and told Vince, "Hey Vince, I'm in the wrestling business." And Vince's reply was, "That's great, Ted. I'm glad you're in the wrestling business. I'm in the entertainment business. Big difference." So there's your answer, Rage.
At the end of the day, The Rock is an entertainer.
When The Rock shows up at WrestleMania, that gets bigger coverage on other networks.
TMZ.
And that is unnecessary to me.
Well, okay, that may be unnecessary. Listen, I Rage,
but WrestleMania is the biggest show of the year.
It's going to be a big show.
Rage.
And only getting wrestling fans.
It's quote the biggest show of the year. Why do you need The Rock to help you sell it?
Fans to tune into WrestleMania.
Here's the thing, Rage. While I agree with you, okay, I agree with you in the sense that Rock should not be there. In the terms of just booking an old school wrestling card, okay. However, you got to understand that the biggest show of the year, we're not talking about Battleground or Hell in a Cell or Night of Champions or even SummerSlam. We're talking about WrestleMania. This is where WWE makes most of their money for the entire year. The only way they can do that is by putting chess pieces in place where they are guaranteed to make money. It's like this, Rage. You got a horse race. The only way you're guaranteed to win money is if you bet on every horse in the race.
Yep.
Which is why WrestleMania has always been the event, which they also bring in celebrities. And you got a built-in celebrity with The Rock.
And this goes back to something that I said on the rant on Tuesday night, is that as long as the audience is getting stupider and stupider, you're going to have more of The Rock. You're going to have more of Person X. You're going to have more of this person returning and eating up 30, 40 minutes of time on the quote, biggest show of the year, or one of the biggest TV shows of the year, or whatever, you know? It's just, as long as there's a fan base that buys into it, it's going to happen.
You know,
and we're going to sit here and we're going to complain about it and not agree with it. But I think the big difference, though, is I think me, Surfer, and Tony C are a little bit more accepting of what really is happening, and you're not accepting in that sense. I think you got to take your emotions out of it and just analyze. Okay, The Rock is coming back. I don't like it. It doesn't make me happy. But you know what? Let me focus on everything else that's happening at WrestleMania, and I'll just ignore.
And that goes for anybody.
I'm not understanding
why they're doing it.
And I'm not directing my comments specifically at Rage. This is for anybody that's listening.
Yeah, that's anybody who Rage want to build somebody up. It's going to take a long time for somebody to fill the Rock shoes. I'm sorry. They still ain't found the next Stone Cold or
Pastor Sadell in the chat room said that if he could, Vince would make a match between Obama and Putin because he knows they would draw.
It'll make money.
He doesn't care about the backlash of doing it. He just knows that it would draw.
Look at that bottom line, man.
Exactly.
Bottom line.
Look, Rage, I don't know if this would be something that you yourself would do, but look, Vince had the balls at WrestleMania to shave his head because he knew it would draw money. Could you yourself do that if you knew it was guaranteed to draw money?
I don't have hair, so sure.
Oh, if you had hair.
Well, sure, yes.
Okay, and that's why Vince does the things he does, regardless of whether we like it or not.
We learned. See, I think we learned a long time ago. It's not about what we think; it's about what Vince thinks.
Rage. Another. Here's another great analogy, and then I know this one will stick to you. You'll understand this one. Like me, I know that you would love to win the lottery.
Damn right I would.
Okay. But you're not guaranteed to win the lottery, right?
Nope.
Of course not. It's not a guarantee that you're going to win. You know the what's the only surefire guarantee way you're going to get money?
If I enter? I don't know.
No. By going to work.
Oh, yeah. True.
That's
the only
guaranteed way of you getting a paycheck on a regular basis. You don't like it, but you do it because you know it's going to make you money. Same way, I guarantee you a lot of the things that Vince does, I guarantee you a lot of what Vince does, I'm pretty sure Vince doesn't like it, but he does it anyway because he knows at the end of the day he's going to go home and his wallet is going to be a little bit fatter.
Yep.
That's just part of life. You do things, despite whether you like it or not, to help get a bigger return.
And you find the next person that's going to make Vince some money, you won't have to call The Rock.
Exactly.
You won't have to call Brock. You won't have to call nobody.
If you could guarantee, I'm promising you, Rage, if you could guarantee that Roman Reigns, Cesaro, and Dolph Ziggler could draw the WWE WrestleMania money, I guarantee you they'll be in the main event at WrestleMania this year. If you could, if
they
you
can draw the same
convince,
amount of money to Rock with the program exactly. The Rock was on.
Look at Daniel Bryan. This wasn't a guy that only been in wrestling a couple years now. How long has he been in wrestling now? More than
13 years, something like that.
And he just finally headlined a WrestleMania. It took him 10 years to get to the WWE.
He has a story very similar to Stone Cold. It took 8 years for Stone Cold to main event WrestleMania.
Yep.
Bret Hart in the same way. Bret Hart is almost kind of like the same thing. Bret came into the WWE 1984. Bret didn't main event WrestleMania until 1993.
Yeah, you know, his being a Hart helped.
It helped, but look, he still had to climb that proverbial ladder.
I mean, you complain about guys not getting a chance now. Look at the guys from back in the day didn't get their chance. Steamboat never got his WWE title.
Never. A lot of that was because of Hogan. Hogan was the guy at the time.
They couldn't outdraw him.
A lot of people suffered in the WWE during Hogan's tenure.
But it wasn't necessarily Hogan's fault. That's the way the business was.
Oh no, I'm just saying. I'm not specifically saying that it was directly Hogan. I'm saying because Hogan was there. Hogan was the top dog in those days. So everybody else, you know, by design, got neglected because they were not ready to give up that cash train.
If Hogan didn't try to do movies, would the Macho Man and the Warrior have been champion? Or Hogan just would have been champion all the way through his whole time?
I think there would have been, I don't know, the Warrior would be the one that I would probably question. I don't know about Macho Man, though. I think Macho Man probably would have won the title
in '88.
I mean,
that would have been like 6 years.
Did he ever touch the belt?
Nope. He bought the belt for 5 minutes. Look.
Yeah, he did for 5 minutes.
There was, you know what?
DiBiase touched it for 5 minutes.
You know that don't count.
It's funny. There was no heels other than Sergeant Slaughter. Well, no, Macho Man was a heel at the end of his championship run. But Sergeant Slaughter was the only heel to really win the title.
Over time.
and have it for an extended period of time. And
yeah, 2 months.
2 months. Well, hey.
How long did the Undertaker have the first time?
For a cup of coffee. I think he won it, and then wasn't he stripped of the title?
That was after Sarge.
Yeah, that was after Sergeant Slaughter. No. Yeah, that was after Sergeant Slaughter, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Yokozuna, you got to count him.
Yokozuna's way after Sergeant Slaughter.
Yeah. It went Sarge, Taker, Hogan, Slayer, Macho Man.
Who was a heel the whole time? He held the belt.
Who, Flair?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but we're talking, these are all after Hogan's initial 5-year run, you know?
Yeah. From 84 to 90.
The two people that held the title other than Hogan during that first long stretch were faces. Macho Man was a face when he won the title, and he was a face a majority of his run.
Yep.
And then, of course, he turned.
Oh, boy.
And then, of course, he turned.
Hogan had to try to take Macho Man's woman, causing him to turn evil.
Love Hogan.
Look, another example of somebody never was champion because of not necessarily because it was Hogan's fault, but it was because Hogan was the champion, was the guy, was Roddy Piper. And I think, yeah. And Roddy Piper has never been world champion.
I don't think Hogan, ever. I mean, Piper would have made a good champion. He was better at you know.
You don't think at the height of Piper's career, when he was the most hated man in wrestling, that he would not have been a great champion?
No, because
you don't think that Hogan maybe feuding with him and trying to get that title back wouldn't have drawn huge money.
It would have been like Shane Douglas in ECW.
No, not like that.
Say what you want. They drew all right money in WCW when they feuded.
They drew all right, but that was already past you know the initial feud. I'm talking about, we're talking 1985.
Well, I was just saying,
the perception on Piper, he looked like an ordinary guy in the ring.
Okay, but let's look at it this way, and this is so far off battleground. But let's look at it this way. So, Hogan won the title from the Iron Sheik in 1984 in January.
Yeah, out of nowhere, too.
Out of nowhere. Let's say, instead of having Hogan's first run was 3 years. Instead of having a 3-year run, let's say his run lasted a year and change, and he lost the title to Piper. Let's say he lost the title exactly a year after Hogan won it, okay? In January of 85. I'm telling you, had something like that happen, I'm not necessarily saying that, you know, Piper would have been the greatest champion, the greatest heel champion of all time, but I honestly believe...
Is that...
I honestly believe that if Piper was the champion in January of 85, the first main event of WrestleMania definitely would have been Hogan and Piper, with Hogan trying to get the title back, and that would have been a main event that would have been 10 times better than the main event that happened with Mr. T.
Is that Hogan win? Is that whole thing on table just a pin?
You know? I mean, yeah, okay, you had Andre and Hogan. That was a big draw. But even that had little to no build, and I think the feud was built from 1 week to the next, and it just drew a big house because,
well, you know, Andre, of course, turning heel was a big deal, and then on top of that, this was the unbeatable man.
Yeah,
and you know, you didn't slam him, you didn't pin him, and you know, he was the consummate good guy, and he flipped on Hogan, like everybody else did. Everybody turned on Hogan.
I think we got a great the subject for a great roundtable. Wrestlers that should have been, that were never world champions.
Oh yeah, that the laundry list.
You know, but anyways, I think any final thoughts with Battleground before we wrap up?
28 days, Cypher.
I dread the fact that I dread the thought of a
You know, let's see what they do tomorrow night.
Well, yeah. Well, let's talk about that, okay? Let's run down what's going on here on the network over the course of the next 7 days, because we got a full week of programming for you, and it all kicks off in about 8.5 hours time, or 7.5 hours time, I should say, beginning at 8 o'clock Monday morning. That's tomorrow. It'll be, we're simply calling it 7 years of the Rant Marathon, which means all day on Monday. I highly suggest you guys tune into TuneIn Radio, the website, things like that, because beginning at 8 a.m. and running all day long will be eight episodes of The Rant from 7 different years. So you'll have an episode from 2007, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14, and they will air in sequential order. So the earlier you tune in, the older the episode. All right.
A classic Problem Child episode or two.
What was that?
I hope we have a classic Problem Child episode or two.
There is a Problem Child episode in there somewhere. Anyways.
It's good.
So, tune in beginning 8 a.m. right here at rantamradio.com. Then on Tuesday, The Rant, as always, 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, 1 a.m. for you people in the U.K. We're going to talk about the fallout from Monday Night Raw, or the fallout from Battleground that happened on Monday Night Raw, where I will be attending tomorrow night. You know, should be interesting. Then on Wednesday, Turnbuckle Throwbacks live with Phil and Dave. They're going to be talking about what's on their minds in the wrestling business, and of course they will have another throwback for you this week. Then on Thursday, The Rant is on the air again. What is this? It's our 7th anniversary show. Tune in Thursday, July 24th, 8 p.m., and we're going to have a very we're going to have some fun times. Let's just put it that way on Thursday night. Then on Friday, boy oh boy, it just doesn't stop. On Friday, Surfer kicks off 3 days worth of Comic-Con coverage from the San Diego Comic-Con. It all kicks off Friday at 9 p.m. He'll hit the air once again on Saturday at 9 p.m., recapping the day's events. Then on Sunday at 5 p.m., in place of the What Are You Reading comic book show, it'll be a rebroadcast of the coverage from Friday and Saturday. And then probably 8 or 9 p.m. on Sunday night will be an extended episode of the What Are You Reading comic book show, where they will recap the entire weekend of the San Diego Comic-Con. Whew.
Will you be there?
No.
How do you pull that off?
Then, the next time we'll be bringing you pay-per-view coverage will be 4 weeks from tonight on Sunday, August 17th. For SummerSlam, our coverage kicks off at 7 p.m. with a live pre-show. And, of course, we'll have a live chat and a post-show recapping everything that went down at 11 p.m. Is that it? I think that's it, boys.
Right? 28 days.
28 days until the biggest party of the summer. Like, oh, we didn't talk about the SummerSlam commercial. Interesting. I just thought it was interesting. Just, it was very different. I don't know why, but it was very different.
Very Quentin Tarantino-ish.
Sure. Why not? It was just a very different commercial. You know, yeah. Caught my eye. It definitely caught my eye. That's for sure. Okay, that's it. I want to thank everybody who tuned in tonight, everybody who listened live. This program, if you
I was on mute. Listen, the thing was a grindhouse type of thing from the 70s. Don't give Tarantino that kind of credit. He's been copying himself. That's not something Tarantino came up with.
Oh, excuse me.
Those are B and C movies from the 70s, and that's what they made that look like. Exploitation films.
Well,
which I like.
Well, okay. This the post show. If you guys stick around, if you missed any part of the post show, stick around. Probably in the next 10 minutes or so at 12:30, this program will in fact re-air in its entirety. So I guess that's it. So for everybody in the chat room, everybody listening live, for Tony C, Surfer, and of course Rage, I'm Double A. Don't forget tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. 7 years of the Rant Marathon. It all kicks off. A full week of coverage or a full week of programming right here on RantAmRadio.com. I'm Double A. Have a good night, everybody. Into the jungle.